Hey, it's Brandon Laws. Welcome to Transform Your Workplace. Today's episode is brought to you by Zenium HR. Zenium just launched this year a learning and development subscription program where you get unlimited virtual workshops. We got a great calendar throughout the year and unlimited e-learning courses that you can learn on demand from your mobile device, tablet, desktop, however you like to learn on the go all the time. Go check it out at zeniumhr.com. Okay, I'm super excited for today's episode. For longtime listeners, you'll recognize this voice. Lacey Partapillo is here with me, a very talented colleague of mine who has been a regular on the podcast for a long time. And she got so busy and I didn't want to burden her with coming on the show, but I did ask her to come recently and we did an Ask Me Anything type of episode. You're going to get a lot of insights from her about how to structure an HR department, what skills you need to succeed in this modern work environment, misconceptions about the HR profession, core needs of businesses from an HR perspective, and just what she thinks from an overall impact and how she stays ahead of the curve when it comes to HR and people leadership. I really hope you enjoy today's episode. I had such a great time with Lacey, and I know you'll get a lot out of this episode. So let me know what you think. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Send me a message. I'd love to hear how you like the show. If you're just giving us a try for the first time and like what you heard, make sure to subscribe. We got tons of expert interviews going back 450 episodes, and they're all there for free. So enjoy the episode with Lacey Partapillo. Lacey, it is so good to have you back on Transform Your Workplace. You're like my go-to, and we just really haven't recorded podcasts lately. Yeah. So you're just too popular and busy.
I know. I was flattered that you asked to have me back. So I'm happy to be here. We can't let it go this long again.
No, yeah. For listeners who know Lacey's voice, you're probably waiting forever for her. She was not fired from the show. I don't know what happened. We just let work and stuff spiral out of control in some cases and just let it go. So
yeah,
I'm glad to have you. We're going to do an Ask Me Anything type of show. So this is, Lacey is like, her role has changed over the last couple of years. She's in now client success, and for Zenium, we're an HR consulting and we do payroll processing, and Lacey touches every client. She like helps with account management, and she's been through like every situation imaginable. Like imagine you're consulting with, you know, small, medium, large organizations, and she or her team or other people inside the company she's supporting have gone through like every situation imaginable. It feels like, right? And so I'm going to get into a lot of that because you've got some unique perspective versus, like, you know, a lot of people listening, maybe in-house HR people, maybe consultants themselves, maybe their managers. And I think you offer unique perspective. So we're going to get into that. You excited?
Yeah, I have no idea what your questions are, what we're going to talk about, but I think it'll be fun that way.
Well, we'll start with something easy. Like how, you know, over the years, you've been in HR for a long time. You started in recruiting with Express Employment Professionals, came over to Zenium in a consultant role. How have you seen the HR profession change over the last like 2-3 years?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, I think it's changed in lots of ways. I feel like HR professionals are now really part of leadership teams. And I think, you know, when I was first starting out, we talked about that. Like we would say, oh, we want to get a seat at the table. And it was harder to earn that, I think. I think now business leaders are smarter and they understand that having HR as part of the whole leader team makes a big difference. So that's definitely changed. I also think this hybrid remote, which is probably people are tired of talking about that, but what that has done to the HR desk in terms of complexity, compliance, inclusion, DEI, all of that has broadened the scope of what we had to be familiar with. And I think about the things that we would deliver to clients. I mean, it was like a handbook, job descriptions, sometimes we would work with clients on performance management systems, but those were like the savvy clients, you know, the ones that wanted to like be cutting edge. Now the expectations for what an HR person understands and is capable of, it's so much more complex. And so I think the HR people of today are smarter, savvier, and really have to be true generalists to be able to manage that desk.
They're kind of forced to. I mean, there's economic changes that have happened, like employer market, employee market, and then now, you know, one side or the other is like kind of forced to change. I think the like driving needs of people have changed largely due to the hybrid remote work environment, COVID, technology. I think technology is really the driving force behind a lot of this stuff personally. And then it's now forcing the HR people to like, how do I adapt? Like, I need to understand this stuff. And because people now expect it. Like think about like any HR technology, an HRIS system. We're used to one click buying on Amazon. And that experience is frictionless. And now employees expect that even in their HR tools that they're using. Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild if you think about it. And so as an HR person, you're having to adapt to it. And it's impossible to know everything. Mm-hmm. So you have to sort of have a deep bench of people that are by your side. Like as a consultant, it's easy because you've got, you know, 40 HR people next to you. And you can like, hey, you know, Colleen, have you been through this? But like, think about a single HR person. How the hell do you keep up on it?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want that job. Like I would not, I tell people, I'm like, I would not want to be an internal HR person for that reason. And you think about the number of generations that are in the workplace too. So you've got these newer, really smart, tech savvy employees who have that expectation of the one click process stuff. But you might also have an older generation of employees who like their paper, who want to do things the way they've been doing it. And so how do you build processes and systems that can support the needs of all of your employees and making it not five different things for different groups of employees, because that's not going to be efficient. So I think there's just a lot of pressure. And I mean, I say this all the time, but if I was an internal HR person, I mean, that's just not going to be me. But if I had to do that, there's no way that I wouldn't want the deep bench of a consulting firm like us to help, because it's just too much to have to understand and know.
Yeah. I relate it to myself. So I am an in-house marketing leader for an HR consulting company. I can't possibly know everything about marketing. Like I can't write ad copy and build websites and create logos and do podcasting and do webinar. Like I couldn't possibly do it all. And so you have like, I have an employee and then I have a ton of consultants on my bench that I can leverage for very specific things. I think an HR professional is no different, right?
Yep. Agreed. Totally agree with that.
HR's always got a bad rap in the past. I think it's getting better. I think the perception's better. It's always been the finger wagging, policy driven department of no. Like, what are some other misconceptions, especially in today's modern environment, that you want to clear the air on?
I think people think that HR makes the decisions. And so I think when policies change or people are let go from organizations, or maybe they're not let go from organizations, I think employees and sometimes leaders think that HR was making that call. And I actually, that's not ever the role that I've taken. I really see myself as an advisor and presenting options and risks. And if we do this, here's what's probably going to happen because I've seen it five times. Or if we do this, here are some, you know, outcomes that we could have to be dealing with. So I think people think HR is the one who writes the rules and enforces the rules and makes the decisions. I don't think that's true all the time. I also think it can be an underutilized function. So there are some like necessary evil things that HR has to do. And if you're a one in-house person, you could be bogged down by those things that like have to get done. EEO reporting, getting your safety committee running every month, like all of the little ticky-tacky things. So you might not get to do some of that strategic work that like actually makes an impact. So I think there's a misconception just around the value of the time that an HR person spends on different tasks. I don't know. I don't think I've ever had the experience of being told you're wagging your finger, because I just don't advise like that. And I think I'm a lot more comfortable with risk. Maybe that's a problem because I've definitely been in situations.
Yeah, you're a lot more comfortable. I know you. You are more comfortable with risk.
Yeah.
But you also provide options too, like, because there's no one answer. Like, as policy driven as HR can be, at least from what I know, I'm a marketer, you tell me otherwise, but it it lives in the gray area a lot more than you would think.
Oh yeah.
And so as an employer, you're presenting them with often multiple options. It's like, here's a fork on the road. You could choose this and here are the risks. You mm-hmm. choose this, here are the risks. You choose this, here are the risks. And they make the choice. You're just advising on like, here, I'm just looking at it from every angle.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the style that I have had. I think that's what clients appreciate. And I've seen a lot. So I do think I know that if we go down this path, here are some outcomes. Yep. And I definitely, over the years, I'm feeling more and more confident in being a little more assertive in saying, I'm really worried about doing this, or I think we're going to get a claim, but here's the negative outcomes of keeping this employee. And I think we need to take the risk because, you know, we're going to end up there no matter what, if we do it now or in 6 months.
It's funny. I had like a set of questions I wanted to ask you. I'm like totally going off the rails right now because it's like, this is a nice fluid discussion that's like branching off. You know what I think is like an underrated skill set of an HR person? And really any profession, but specifically in HR because there is risk, decision-making skills. Like getting the most information possible without being paralyzed by it and then using that mm-hmm. information to present the best possible path for success. Yes. How do you learn that? Yeah. Is it through experience? Is it through other people? Like what in your experience, how do you get there?
I think when I figured out that what actually mattered the most was the outcome that the client or the manager or supervisor or even employee wanted, that matters from the beginning. So I used to, in my consulting, start by gathering tons of information. Tell me about what's happened. Tell me about what you've done. Send me all your documents. And like you said, you can be paralyzed with data and facts. And then you're like feeling like, my gosh, there's 10 different options and things we could do. And I actually think presenting all of those can be overwhelming for a client that we work with. So when I figured out that I could actually get to a decision quicker and actually produce better outcomes by literally just asking this one question of, before we get started, I want to know what is the outcome that you're hoping to achieve through this? Then we just like cut through all the crap, and we can still ask the questions about what are their risks and how long have they worked there and send me your documents. But I'm like looking at all of that through the lens of the best outcome for the organization. And sometimes I might say, I don't think we can get there. I think if we do that today, here's what's going to happen. But I feel like a couple things happen when you do that. One, the client knows that I care about what they want to do, that is actually the most important thing. And I think two, I'm going to try to create a path forward to get us there. If it's today, if it's in 6 months, you know, however long it takes us to get there, that is like where my mind is thinking. I got so much better at this job. I built relationships quick. My clients trusted me. And I think that for a consultant or an HR person who's even internal, I think if you can flip the order of the way that you're getting to the root of what's going on, I think it makes a big difference.
With as much experience as you have, how often are you relying on like gut instinct or intuition versus like truly like factual information and leveraging that to make a decision? Like after with so much experience and like being through certain things, I'm sure you have that gut, but there's a lot of factors at play, like the industry, the culture, the, like all these things, right?
It's a little bit of all of that. I also think it's people. So I have a really big interest in why people do what they do. And so there is strategy around even something as simple as presenting a separation agreement to an employee that has maybe a severance amount. And maybe the employee is coming back and they're trying to negotiate. And we know we're not going to get to the number that they negotiated to. I'm thinking in my head, if we can only get to X, is that going to be insulting? Am I better off holding at the number that we had because offering a number that isn't what they asked for, knowing their personality, knowing their ego, like you're thinking through all of those things. And I have found over the years that you're relying on the facts of the situation. I'm relying on obviously lots of experience of going through these things so many times, but also just how people tick and how people respond to things. I think like I felt really capable in helping clients make those decisions because you work with people all day long. You really understand what motivates them and helps people make decisions.
So one of the like unique perspectives you have is you've worked with companies of all sizes, like from startup to, I wouldn't say large, but 1500 employees, you know, like I consider that large with the business we run. With those startup level or even like never hired their first HR person type of business, their growth now is warranting more HR resources, largely due to this processes and laws that may impact them at a certain level. But if you can speak to the business owner, somebody who's in charge of like HR, eventually if they hire it, what does a business need to do to prepare for their first HR hire?
That's a really good question. I think people wait too long. I think many organizations like feel like they're handling it fine themselves. They're maybe having their CFO or accounting team member taking care of onboarding new hires. And I think those organizations, in my experience, are often thinking about HR from a process, you know, new hire onboarding recruitment mentality. And I actually think if an organization has funding to fund an HR position or outsource to an organization like Xenium, we can actually help shape the culture of the organization as an HR person, whether you're internal or you're the consultant, in developing systems and processes that are aligned with core values and the growth plans of the organization. So I would say it's thinking about it before you need it, before that controller is tapped out and they're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this HR thing anymore, before you've got 15 open recs because you're growing so much and you think you need just a recruiter to get through that. Be thinking about what is the core function of HR need to be for the future and trying to find a way to invest in that. I think that's a miss. And I think oftentimes we kind of are coming in and it's like, gosh, if I had just been here a year ago, we could have built some of this infrastructure to prevent and avoid some of that. And I've had some experiences where clients have done that and we're getting to work with a really super small startup where they're hiring their first, second, third employee. I have a client that I've worked with for, I don't know, 12 years or so. And they're at like 40 employees now. When they first started, I mean, it was ping pong tables and like had five employees. And to be able to see their growth and see some of the things that we got to work on in the early days that has like, they've been able to build on those things. It's super rewarding. And I mean, those are the places that are great places to work. They retain their employees. They've got good managers. They have high retention, like that stuff. It does make a difference in the beginning.
What's interesting is like, I've been around companies where they've grown so organically and maybe slow growth. So it wasn't so super exponential. So they didn't notice the pain, but then they get to like, I'm thinking of one company in particular, their construction industry, they're 140 employees. They don't have HR. And I'm sort of like, I understand that, but I'm seeing like how nobody owns it and all these HR things are coming up. So it's like falls on the payroll person or accounting or the leadership team, and they do things by committee. So things go slow. They don't have core values. Their handbook's probably way out of date. It's just like a mess. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's like, don't you just want to like reach out to those people and be like, you really need somebody to own this, whether it's a consultant or you need to really invest in that first hire, because it can't necessarily be shared, especially early on.
Totally. I mean, I hear it from my friends and people that are, you know, that I just interact with in the world that maybe aren't Xenium employees. I feel for them because I hear about how processes and different functions are managed. I mean, 140 person construction company. I mean, you know, my head goes to like risk first for an organization like that. It's a high risk industry. There's a lot of compliance and regulatory things that affect a business like that. And so if you don't have somebody owning it, the employee experience becomes disjointed too. So you've got, if I report to this manager, here's what my experience is. If I report to this manager, it looks like this. I think that that's not, it's not what most business owners want. And usually it's not until there's a crisis or until there's maybe some turnover in the leadership team, because those people are like, I'm trying to be a working manager and I've got these HR duties on my plate too. And I can't get support when I need it. And there's no expertise. I'm out of here. And then that's when you have like an owner saying, okay, maybe we need to look at this and evaluate it, because they've gotten by until now. And I think the organizations of the future, the ones that are going to grow, the ones that will survive through things like the pandemic, those are the ones that are investing in infrastructure and people that can be there when things are actually okay, and keeping things running to make the employee experience positive.
That's the thing, is that it really comes down to employee experience at the end of the day. And problems will start bubbling up naturally if you don't address it early on. And then if you're not collecting feedback, like if you don't have a feedback loop mechanism company-wide, I mean, one-on-ones and stuff, if they're even doing those, that's a good way to get feedback, but you sort of need this like ongoing mechanism to collect feedback and then make fly adjustments to the employees. And some of those things are like, they could be process. So being aware of like a broken process or like inefficient process or clunky or whatever, and that's ruining the experience. Like if you can know about those things in advance, you could get ahead of it and it could be so smooth for employees.
Totally. One thing that's interesting to me right now, being in this client success role, that I've noticed there's a correlation for when teams here at Zenium are thriving and there's just positive employee experience, those teams are also getting a lot of positive feedback from clients. And so as a business owner, if you're thinking about, is it worth it? Should I really invest in this? I would say yeah, because when employees are unhappy, your customers are going to feel it. Even if they're maybe not like frontline interacting with customers, their care about the quality of the work that they produce out on the shop floor, as an example, goes down. Their attendance goes down. People literally call in sick to work at organizations that have low employee satisfaction levels in employee surveys, like just higher amounts of absenteeism. So there's data out there that supports this. But just as a client success leader now, I see that as we are improving in certain areas within Zenium to make the employee experience better by improving benefits or staffing up because people have felt overwhelmed or letting people work in a remote and hybrid schedule, all those things that feel positive, our clients are experiencing a happier employee and they're saying it. Like I'm literally interacting with clients who are saying, oh my gosh, you guys must be doing something right over there because every time I interact with this employee of yours, they're so happy. Like your people are so happy. They love what they're doing. I can tell that they love doing payroll. So that feels good. And I know that it's because we have Bridget, we have people on our team that are really managing HR. I think we've done a really good job of, in the last 4 or 5 years, of investing in our own HR infrastructure with some of the folks that have built all of that and with now Bridget leading it. So I think that's just going to continue to have a positive effect on our clients' experience here.
I want to shout out Sean Bussey. He wrote a book, good friend. He wrote a book called Marketing from the Inside Out. And it's like exactly what you're describing. It's like, if you can figure out your employee experience and you get all that dialed in and make them engaged, or they're engaged because they're having such a good experience and they like the work and they understand how their work impacts the overarching mission and purpose of the organization, they all feel connected. That translates to how you show up with whether it's customer service or the product being made or whatever. And that's how you grow as an organization. So if you're not investing mm-hmm. in the employee experience, it has catastrophic downstream impacts.
Yeah, totally. Employees that are excited about coming to work will innovate. They will find better ways to do things. They will be creative. They will sell your services out in the marketplace. They're going to be posting on social media about how cool it is to work at your company. So there's like so much positive effects from doing that. That's probably another thing I would say that has changed the way that we've done HR, is thinking about the employee experience as an actual marketing function for the company. And I think we do a really good job of that here. We have really happy employees that mm-hmm. talk about why it's great to work at Zenium, but I definitely think organizations need to be thinking about that.
You could take a hard pass on this next question if you're not comfortable talking about it, but being that you've dealt with every situation imaginable, or your people have, what is like one of the hardest things you've dealt with in the last year or 2 years that really challenged you or really challenged your team, that had to do with like just complexities of people and HR?
I think something that has been challenging, and this is actually seemingly happening a lot more and more with the clients that we're working with, somebody was asking me, why do you think that is? I have some ideas, but we're seeing so much more activity on the sale of business acquisition and merger side of things for our clients. And I don't know if that's because we have really great retention with clients. And so we have clients for many years, and those people age and they can't own their business forever. And so is it because they're retiring? Is it that some of it I truly think is like we've built such great infrastructure on HR processes for clients that it does help, and we've gotten feedback about that, it does help them become more appealing to larger organizations that purchase them. So I don't know what it is, but that activity is happening more. And I think what is challenging about that is, for me personally, is the deep relationships that we build, that I have built, as really acting as if I'm their HR person. And, you know, an organization gets purchased and maybe the parent company's got some HR infrastructure in place. And so things get absorbed. I think balancing the fast pace of that, like the pace at which sales of businesses happen, sometimes is like you can't even catch your breath. The requirements for those owners to produce information is a lot. And just like the care that most of the organizations that we have the privilege of working with for their people is so big. So like working with an owner who knows they need to transition their business and they care deeply about what they've built, and being that balance of helping with the tactical side of getting through the process of a business sale and the technical compliance things that come along with that has been huge learning curve and things that we've all here at Zenium had to navigate. But also like my heart for that owner who is happy and excited and enthusiastic, but also grieving a new chapter for themselves has been, I don't know, it's been hard. It's also been a privilege to like be a part of that journey with them. And I've had a few recently that have been particularly exciting. And then even on the backside of that, getting to continue working with the organization. And like even yesterday, having a conversation with an HR manager at one of my clients that was sold, and it's been about 8 months and we're working through kind of things feeling finally more stable with the new ownership. Her saying, there's no way that I would want to have gone through this without you. Like it's so rewarding. The work is so rewarding. And I've said this to new like HR people that come to Zenium to work here. The stuff that is the hardest, that you lose sleep over, that you shed tears over sometimes, that is the stuff that you're going to like look back and say, I wouldn't have wished that I didn't get to do that. Like it was so hard in the moment, but now I feel like I actually really made a difference, and it's like a mark in my heart for the work that we get to do. So that's some recent stuff that's been tough, but like super rewarding too.
I'm sure. That's a good one too. And like the quick sidebar. So like was it last week or the week before I moderated a webinar on exit planning. We used a partner for it. And just hearing the importance of like if a business owner is eventually going to plan for an exit, like they're going to get older or they're going to pass it on to somebody else or sell it, right? And there's a lot of things that you need to put in place, like infrastructure. And that makes a business so much more valuable when you have processes in place, the right people, the right roles, and HR has a lot to do with that. So, and I've talked to exit planners before. They're like, when you're doing due diligence, like if you have no processes and it's like the business can't live on past the owner because all the information's in their head and there's only a couple key employees and the rest are administrative, like that is not a scaled business.
Right, right. And I have felt pride when clients have come to me to say that they're going to be going through this process. I know that the things that we have worked on, they're going to be able to be proud of, and they're going to be able to say, look at this stuff, look at our processes, look at our handbook, and there's not going to be any I's that haven't been dotted or T's that are crossed. And that feels really good. And literally have had business owners say, we believe that we were able to get a higher dollar value for our business because of the things that we had in place as a result of partnering with an organization like Zenium. So I'm proud of that. And that is like so many layers of people on our team that help put the whole piece and package together. But we've been lucky to partner with some really great companies that have gone on to sell, and we get the opportunity to keep working with those teams in different capacities. And that's cool because everybody's growing and learning at that point, which is what I love that.
An investment in HR is truly an investment in the people and in the actual business operations itself. And I think like once you get those things in place, the investment can't stop. Like we have to invest in ourselves too. Like things are changing so fast that decision-making becomes harder. It becomes harder to adapt to change management, all that. How do you go about investing in your own knowledge to stay ahead of the curve? And also where are you going to spend most of your time on your education? Because things are changing a lot, like a lot of technology and people are changing, like generations are changing, like this new one entering the workforce is like pushing the needs. I mean, millennials did the same thing and Xers before that. So it's just evolving times. But how do you make sure that you stay ahead?
Yeah, I think one of the things up here at Zenium that makes this place unique is the variety and volume of work that crosses our desk just inherently creates a learning environment. So there are so many different things that happen in a given day that you can't help but learn. And so some of it, I think, really is like still on the job, even after 17 years of working here. I'm literally learning on the job. I think for me, my focus right now is really around that strategic leadership. So having just recently had the opportunity to join our senior leadership team has been a blessing, and learning more about some of the ins and outs of how our organization works. I also think learning how to take teams that are functioning and bring those teams together. So continuing to just build on some of the cross-functional work that I've already done, I think is going to be a big focus for me. I mean, there isn't a day that goes by that I'm not learning something new or different, which sounds cheesy, but it's really true. Like, there's so much variety in the work that we do. So I find ways to do some of that professional development that way. I think early in my career, it was definitely more focused on the compliance and some of the HR best practices. And that's changing a lot in many ways. And so we've got lots of great tools to keep up on that. And I'm obviously a member of Sherman. I'm certified. So I have a lot of continuing education that I do to keep my credentials up. But I think some of the leadership coaching that we'll be doing over the next year and likely beyond that too is really going to stretch me in this new leader role to bring our teams together, because my role kind of sits in between every team. We were joking about that today. I'm like, I feel like I'm on everybody's team, but that's really what it feels like. So finding ways to bring people together will be part of my development, I think.
Yeah. And I think that's in-house HR's role too, is to bring people together. Like, they kind of sit on everybody's team. Like, they're a layer that is really supposed to be connected to the employees and the employer, you know, and not necessarily working for either one of them, but like bridging the gap.
Yeah. That's probably why it feels comfortable, because being that HR person, like, I'm used to doing those things. I also feel like I get this unique perspective of sitting on the client team, because the success of our clients is so important to me and really to everybody at Zenium. But hearing their voices, doing a lot of the work around getting feedback from them in the variety of ways that we do that and leading that, bringing that and bridging that gap that we actually hadn't had that formal process or role before, and getting to create something from scratch was super scary. But I feel like we built some of the fundamental things, and now it's like, how do we take it to the next level and continue to influence and support our teams and our clients to be successful?
All right, last one, and I'll let you go. Where do you think things are going? Like, what are some of the biggest trends? Maybe there's one thing or a couple things that are impacting the workplace that we, as HR people, as leaders, as business owners, we need to prepare for?
I think it all comes down to people. So whether that's focusing on what do individual groups of employees need from a diversity, equity, and inclusion standpoint, I think employees are going to continue to need things that they didn't need before the pandemic. So I think about leave management for organizations, whether that's paid leave or other ancillary benefits that can support employees. I think mental health in the workplace is going to continue to be a challenge for employers. And so we're going to continue to be talking about that. And then probably tech is the other thing. Using tech to find efficiencies to free HR people up so they can do the people-related work on those other two areas, because tech is not going to solve that. Tech might help administer your leave paperwork, but it does not replace the human-to-human connection that somebody who's literally in a health crisis with themselves or their family member, they need a person with a heart to be able to connect with. And that's, I think, the place where HR is going to be able to lift up and be strategic and supportive, leveraging the tech to be able to get rid of some of maybe the administrative work on their desk. That's where I see like the immediate future. And I don't think that's far away. Like, I think we're in that right now. And I think we are going to continue to be talking about it.
Yeah. This is like so fresh on my brain, because I just did a webinar, or I attended a webinar on AI and tech. And it was just talking about the widening skills gap. And I think about that just holistically, not just about AI, but I think about our job as leaders and managers. Like, at one point we were contributors. We're focused on doing our own stuff. You shift into as a manager, and it's a hard shift to make, that you're no longer a contributor. Your job is to make people more effective first, And now with the rising AI and technology that are at our fingertips, and like quite frankly, this, even the skills like emotional intelligence and the people skills, call them soft skills, but I think they're just like skills in general. There's a gap there too. And so our job as leaders is harder because there's a widening gap between people that we hire, the candidates that are in the pool out there that we may have join our team. Like there's, our job needs to be able to get people up to speed, learn those skills, and be successful. Like I think that's a hard job. And I think that's, it's coming to fruition because of just the rise of technology and just the fact that we're so connected but isolated through our these technology tools. Like we're Teams chatting and Slacking and whatever else, you're connected but you're not. And so I think it's just harder to get stuff done in some respects, like harder to connect with people, get things done because we're human at the end of the day. I don't know what you think about that.
I think about like the roles and traditional job descriptions that we've used up till today, and I think leaders are going to have to think about jobs in different ways in the future. And because of the skill gap and because of mental health issues in the workplace and because of the talent shortage that we have and that people aren't up to speed on tech where we need them to be, I think we're going to have to get creative. And I predict there will be more job sharing, more looking at hybrid type arrangements for employees where we can leverage the strengths of someone because they may be really good at one thing, but the expectation for even kind of that true generalist for an HR person, I think that's going to get harder and harder. Because if you think about it just in the generalist sense, the 6 or 7 things we had to know as a generalist 10 years ago, it's like 15 to 20 things now. And so that is, I think it's just going to get harder and harder to find that resource, and jobs are going to be more like unicorns. So either folks are going to outsource, like you've done with marketing, because you've got your great video guy and you find people who can write copy. And so I could see that being an option, or creating functional jobs that work with people in, you know, a couple different roles to create something that, you know, creates the product or the process or the whatever to get exactly what you need. Because finding the unicorn might be harder.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, Lace, this has been fun. I really enjoyed this. Yeah. It's been way too long since we've done this. I appreciate you letting me throw whatever I wanted at you, and you did a great job. So thanks for coming on.
Okay.
How can people connect with you? Do you want to invite people to connect with you on LinkedIn?
I would love that. Yeah. So I'm on LinkedIn and people can connect with me over email too. Like just, I love talking about this stuff. So happy to connect with anyone that finds any of this fun stuff interesting.
Good. And for listeners, if you want Lacey back, let me know, because I'll have her on more regularly. Yeah. I used to have her on regularly. Like it was like, I feel like it was once a month, and then it just...
I know. You got really popular. And so you couldn't fit me into your fancy schedule with some of these folks, but I will definitely be back soon. So we will get that on the calendar.
I appreciate you, Lacey. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, same. Thanks.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in for today's episode of Transform Your Workplace. The content on this show is strictly for general information and educational purposes only, so that you can go transform your workplace in a positive way. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on the show are the guest's own and don't represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of either Zenium HR, the sponsor of the show, or me, the host, Brandon Laws. Additionally, Zenium HR or myself, Brandon Laws, doesn't endorse any guest, their business, or any organization they represent. So discretion is advised. We encourage you to work with a trusted advisor to find a custom approach that fits your organization's needs. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode.